Rebecca Riggs.
Hi, Rebecca. It's Teresa.
Hey, Teresa.
How are you? Okay. And Susie, you're on the call? Okay.
Yes.
Is there anyone else?
Yeah, Kristen Miller.
Hi, Kristen. Is someone else on the call?
Yeah, this is Matthew Goddard.
Hi, Matthew. Okay.
Anybody called so they weren't going to be able to do it today?
Monica Pratt.
But everybody else that said they were, you hadn't heard that they weren't going to.
Right. There's several that I have not heard from, but...
Okay. But in other words, the people you talked to, they hadn't, that said they were coming.
Right.
And called, so they weren't going to be.
No, no.
All right. I'm having to do this on my cell phone. I couldn't figure out how to... I've got 5 phone lines, and I can't figure out how to... every time they ring, you're going to hear them.
Oh, okay.
So normally what I would do whenever we had this, when Jeb was the chair, I would just put it on mute and just listen because I wouldn't say anything.
Right.
I can't mute myself as much as y'all probably want me to.
Oh. Hello.
Hey.
Who? Hi, Dewey. It's Teresa. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Teresa. How you been doing?
I'm doing okay. Did y'all get a lot of snow or ice?
Oh, yeah, we've been out of school for a couple of days.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wait, there's. I think our schools have been out about that, too.
Dewey, I saw y'all are building a new, practice facility or something.
Yeah.
You know, my wake house costs more than your practice facility. So.
I tell you what, Matthew, you need to come down and see it.
Yeah, good. I would never go to ASU in my life. You could pay me amount of money, and I would never go there.
You would have.
Well.
I don't know what to think about that.
Well.
Hello.
We're sorry.
Somebody just, who else is on the call?
Lisa Haley. Good afternoon.
Hi, Lisa.
Mr. Fitzhibbets is too.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Did you tell them?
I think we got 8, I think.
Yeah, Mr. Luker's in here too.
One person. Who, go ahead and say, if you're on here, say your name. There's 9.
Who is
it? Who is it? Yeah.
This is Rita.
Hey, Rita.
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. I think.
Okay, good.
Hey, Rita.
Hi, Rita. Thank you.
Hi. Good.
Hi. Can you state your name?
Chris John.
Hi, Chris. Thank you, Kristen.
Tammy Schwartz.
Thank you, Tammy.
Allie, can you hear all that screaming going on in the background? Whatever that is.
Yeah, if we can mute our calls. Did somebody else call in just now?
This is Rachel Berry.
Who?
Rachel.
Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hey. And then, Teresa, did you get me? This is Tammy.
Yes, I got you, Tammy.
Okay.
Hey, Tammy.
Okay.
All right, I got 2 o'clock. Call
her old. Okay. Who else just called in?
Just go ahead and start.
Okay. Oh. I'm going to go down the line. Just Matthew Glass.
Here.
Cindy Ball. Dewey Graves. Dewey.
Dewey's here. I'll say
okay.
To you. I know.
Okay. Tammy
Schwartz. Here.
Rebecca Tina Davis. Rebecca Riggs.
Here.
Mary Crook. Chris Tibbetts.
Oh, yeah.
Stacy Sebree.
Here.
Okay. Kiara Henderson. Rita Edwards.
Here.
Alex Scott.
Here.
Monica Pratt. Kristen Miller.
Here.
Deanna Harden. I'm sorry. Deanna's name should not. I'm sorry. Chris Johnson.
Here.
Jennifer Belt.
Here.
Tanya Daniels. Karina Wilkins. Mr. Luker.
Here.
Charlie Green. David Deere. Rachel.
Here.
Susie Kiesling.
Here.
Jim Moore, Lisa Haley.
Here.
Jim Moreland. Okay. Okay. Let's say 1, 2, 3.
13, is that what it is?
I'm counting. 15.
15, all right, a quorum is declared. 2:02 p.m. Thursday, February 18th, 2015. I was present. I'll now call the meeting to order. We'll be quick. I hope we'll be quick. Everybody, get off here. We've got 3 items to discuss. The first one is, I think, an incredible opportunity for us. When I was elected chairman, Brenda was out on leave and, you know, just wasn't really sure what was going to happen with that. I kind of played through a scenario of my mind of, well, what happens if we have another change and Brenda doesn't come back, and started walking through that process. The executive director position that we had was a C-19 salary classification position, and it started, I think, like at $31,000 or $32,000. That salary classification topped out on the high end somewhere around $50,000. I think that has inhibited us from being able to attract some really quality candidates for that. So my first thing to do was to get the salary raised to an adequate level where we could attract a quality candidate if Brenda decided not to come back. The first way to do that was through the governor's office. So I worked with Governor Beattie's chief of staff and some other folks, the office personnel management, for a while on trying to get that done. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. With the new governor came in, I started working with the legislature because I thought that would maybe be the easier route. As it turns out, Governor Hutchinson's office has literally been over backwards and offered us something on a silver platter. So the governor's office has agreed to raise the salary. The legislature will have to approve this on Tuesday morning, but the governor has signed an executive order in is waiting to be presented to the legislature Tuesday morning, which I'll come over and testify to the Joint Budget Personnel Committee, to raise the salary level to $90,000 to hire a guy named Eric Munson to be our new executive director. I had the opportunity to go spend a couple of hours with Eric and kind of call around and check on just kind of some references for the guy. And there's just absolutely no way we can pass it up. His, to give you a little bit of a background, does most everybody have their email in front of them? You can say yes.
Yes, most of them.
All right, Teresa, I'm going to forward you Eric's resume right now.
Okay.
And forward that to all the council members.
Forward it now? Okay.
As soon as you get it, forward it.
Okay. I'm going to step out.
So I'm going to go over his resume with you briefly just to give you a little bit of his of Eric's background. Prior to this, Eric was the Senior Vice President and Director of Legislation and Regulation for the Arkansas Bankers Association. Those of you on here that know me know I'm familiar with the Bankers Association and those guys. He did that since November 2011. Prior to that, he worked for the Secretary of State's office. And prior to that, he was appointed by President Bush to run the United States Small Business Administration's Office of Advocacy. Eric has a financial background. Years ago, was an investment advisor in public finance, investment banking, and Solomon Smith Barney. He has a bachelor's degree from the University of Arkansas, which we all know is far superior to Dewey School, and he is a graduate of Catholic High School.
This is Tina Davis. I'm sorry, I just beeped in and I missed
the name. Oh, go ahead, Tina.
I'm sorry, I just left the Capitol. They voted in the autism license plate on the floor.
We've got an opportunity to hire a new executive director, and that's what I don't know how much that you cost. But Teresa is emailing you his resume, and so I was just kind of going over his resume. Did you catch any of his resume for us?
Yes, I missed his name. I guess I didn't miss.
His name is Eric Munson. So. What we've got to do is take it or leave it. So Eric has three other opportunities with the Hudson administration, and this is the one that he wants to do. If we don't hire Eric, we will not be able to increase the salary. Once we increase the salary, the salary continues with or without Eric. So where I'm going with that is, let's say Eric takes this job, and 10 years from now he leaves, we won't be going back down to $40,000. It will stay at an attractive level.
This is Rita. I'd like to express a couple of concerns here.
Okay.
I do have a concern that with the verbiage that we're getting the salary raise just to hire this one person. And two, the impact on our budget for the year, because we are limited to a percentage of our annual grant to cover all of our administrative costs. And what is the impact of that going to be on that percentage? So those are my two concerns.
Right. Well, we can spend 30% of our budget on staff and salaries, and that falls within there. So the legislature is going to do an appropriation to bump that money up.
I understand that it falls within that 30%, but then we also have the salaries of the others to consider. Plus, does that not include, like, office rental and stuff like that?
It does. It does. Yeah, so the expense is going to rise by roughly $40,000, but we will still be within that 30%.
Well, and then my other concern is raising this just to hire this one person. You know, I do have a problem with that. So I just wanted to voice those concerns.
Okay,
this is Tina Davis, and this is a concern, but a point I would like to make is, and I'm sure there's very a lot of eligible people out there and stuff, but the DDC is in a hot mess, and in my opinion, it is going to take someone very capable to get us out of this hot mess and help us spend these funds like we're supposed to. And this is what I've seen, and I haven't been with the DDC, but a year and a half, this has been going on for a while. And for me personally, for my granddaughter, I want this mess cleaned up. I want her to have a future just like everybody else wants their child to. And you know what? I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure we get the right person in there that can do this job.
Can we mute all our phones, everyone, so that we can hear, if you would, please? Thank you.
Matthew, this is Tammy. One of the things that I'm going to tag on to what Tina said, and the thing is, I hear what you're saying, Rita, and you're right. We have to be fiscally responsible as far as, you know, allocating our money. The thing is, you know, I think back to my tenure on the council, and it seems like we keep digging ourselves into a deeper and deeper hole. And what we lack, when we go back, and what we lack is someone that has that financial background. And it, from what I understand, just as Matthew has gone through his resume, it sounds like we have a great opportunity to get a gentleman that has that background that can hit the ground running and help us, you know, kind of, I guess, for lack of better words, dig us out of this mess that we've been in. You know, and I understand what you're saying, Rita. I know we've tried different avenues, and we just haven't been that successful. And I feel like we're given a great opportunity with this gentleman. And Matthew, how does he feel? Like you said, you know, he has other prospects. How does he feel? I mean, is he leaning towards us, or?
He 100%. When we get off this phone line today, if we say yes, he's 100% in. Like I said, he feels like that this is an opportunity for him to do some good for a living. And I believe him because I know the things that, you know, we can do. And, you know, I think all of us, if we're being honest, all of us would really struggle on telling someone what it is we exactly do with $750,000 a year. You know, I can name a couple of things, but I can't. I'm embarrassed to say that I can't name anything extraordinary. And I know that we can do extraordinary things, and I know that what we all can do through Eric is change the lives of people with developmental disabilities for the better. And what we have lacked is leadership. And that's not anybody's fault. We can't change it. But here is an opportunity in my mind to hire someone with an excellent track record in leadership who wants to do this, has other opportunities other than this, and this is what they want to do. So, I
Matthew, this is Chris Johnson.
actually know Eric personally. I went to college with him and
worked out with him. Bad. Is he a bad?
No. I mean,
bad, yeah.
This guy is outstanding. I mean, when you said his name, I was like, surely it's not the same guy. I mean, I think this would be terrific. I work out with him here currently, in the mornings. I mean, I haven't talked to him about this at all. I knew he was looking for something to do, but anyway, this would be outstanding for us, in my personal opinion.
Well, great. I think so, too.
Hey, Matthew, okay. This is Rachel. Can we make a motion to take a vote whether we want to hire Eric as our new executive director?
Yeah, that's what we'll have to do.
But
is there any more discussion?
Okay, yeah, I have a question about taking the vote just yet. Do we have to do anything about the salary issue before we take a vote
this is going to be put to bed today. So we're going
I understand that. I'm just saying, is there a proper order? Do we need to do something regarding the salary range before we do something?
No, there's nothing we can do. Like I said, I've done everything. Office of Personnel Management. There's Kate Terry, she's kind of the boss of human resources for the state at DSNA. I've worked with her to draft the language to do it. It's already been drafted and signed by the governor, and I'll go over Tuesday to testify in support of it and be a done deal. So there's nothing we need to do procedurally other than recommend. My understanding from the feds is that I could have recommended Eric by myself as the chair. What I felt like I needed to do was I needed to tell you all about him and at least give you the opportunity to recommend him is what I would have rather done. That's why we're doing that today.
Okay, and then back to the salary thing. If he's offered this job and then for some reason he's had a better offer, he doesn't take it or whatever, does that have an impact on the salary increase?
It does. It would mean that the next person that we hire gets hired in that salary range.
So whether he takes this position or not, the new salary range will still be in place.
Absolutely not.
Okay. No.
If he does not take this position, we don't get the salary bump up. So in other words,
that's what I have a problem with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm clear that you have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Tina Davis again, and I'm just asking because I don't know in the bylaws and all of that. Are we in state compliance? Hiring this gentleman the way we're trying, it's what
we're
being presented today. I mean, without a doubt,
we couldn't hire
him, and 30 days later, somebody,
I've worked with Cheryl Madden on this since October.
She's the one who did the training. Yeah.
This is Hurdy. You've been working on this since October?
Nobody. Yeah. I've been working
with Eric?
No. I met Eric for the first time and heard Eric's name for the first time about 2 weeks ago. I've been working on getting the salary raise since October of 2014 with Governor Beebe's staff, specifically his chief of staff, Kate Terry, from the Office of Personnel Management, and then Governor Hutchinson's staff, and Duncan Baird, who's the Governor Hutchinson's budget director, and Representative Douglas House on the Joint Budget Committee.
I just wanted to say that I think it's great for the salary increase because I think it's very important, you know, to have someone in here that really cares and has the experience that this guy has. It's a good opportunity, and if he doesn't stay with it, at least, you know, the next person would be compensated well, and that would make it, you know, a much more desirable position. So I'm all for a vote.
Okay.
This is okay. Chris. I agree with that.
One more question.
Hi, it's Jeanette Bell. And I know Eric as well. I've worked with him in session before in a different capacity. But I wanted to ask if he is dismissed from the position. So if we were to terminate his position with a salary, then go. So it stays with him if he's hired. On his own merit.
Yeah. Here's exactly what will happen. If we approve him, he's gonna make $69,000 and some change between now and June 30th is when the fiscal year ends. And then the executive order that Governor Hutchinson has assigned that if it gets approved will increase his pay to $90,000 on July 1st. So if he quits, gets fired, gets killed in a car wreck, you know, God forbid, whatever, at any time between now and then, that salary will stay. If it happens before July 1st, and we hired somebody before July 1st, they'd come in at $69,000, and then if it's after July 1st, they'd come in at the $90,000.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing there's no more discussion at this time, I'll entertain a motion to recommend the hiring of Eric Munson as the new executive director of the Arkansas Governor's Developmental Disability Council.
So moved.
I second the motion.
Chris Johnson made a motion and Tammy Schwartz seconded the motion. All right, we're going to do a roll call vote. Tammy, if you'll call the roll for the ayes, an aye would mean for Eric Munson's hiring.
You want Teresa to do the roll? Is that what you're saying?
I do. Did I say Tammy? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said Tammy. I'm like, I'll try.
Okay, can you repeat that again then, Matthew?
Yeah, Teresa, if you'll do a roll call vote.
Okay.
The ayes are going to be for the hiring of Eric Munson.
Uh-huh.
Nay will be against your recommendation hiring Eric Munson.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to go down the line. Matthew Glass.
Aye.
Cindy Ball. Dewey Graves. Dewey, can you unmute your phone?
Just come back to him.
Okay. Tammy Schwartz.
Aye.
Tina Davis.
Aye.
Rebecca Riggs.
Aye.
Mary Crook. Chris Tebbets. Aye. Stacy Seabury.
Aye.
Kiaris Henderson. Rita Edwards.
No, it's a qualified no.
Alex Scott.
Aye.
Monica Pratt. Kristen Miller.
Aye.
Chris Johnson.
Aye.
Jennifer Belt.
Aye.
Tanya Daniels. Karina Wilkins. Mr. Luker.
Aye.
Charlie Green. David Deere. Rachel Verrier.
Aye.
Susie Kiesling.
Aye.
Jim Moreland. Lisa Haley.
Aye.
Okay.
Right, give Dewey one more shot. If he doesn't respond, we'll give him a not voting present.
Dewey Graves. Dewey, how do you vote? Okay.
We're going to give Dewey a not voting present. So by 14-1, the motion passes. Eric Munson will be recommended to the Arkansas legislature on Tuesday morning. So I think.
is just the best thing that could have happened to us in the world. I really do. And I think once you meet Eric and see the opportunities that we're going to have through him, I can't tell you how, impressed I am with him and excited I am moving forward, for sure. So part of being chair is to kind of set the table, so to speak. And as we move forward now, assuming that the legislature approves this on Tuesday, I'm going to set the table a little differently than the way we've done it before. And we're going to we're going to stop fighting so much for stuff, and we're going to start doing stuff. And so what I mean by that is we're going to have a really narrow, focused task ahead of us. And we're going to actually get some stuff done. I personally feel that running, an inch deep and a mile wide, we haven't done all that we can do. And that's my fault, probably more than anybody's. But going forward with the leadership that we'll have in place now, we'll go back to being board members. There shouldn't be a time when I can remember with Tammy telling us that she's been working on the budget for days and weeks. Tammy's a board member. Tammy could be working on budget. So with that said, I think there's a lot of exciting things ahead for us. And I really, like to get him on board and get started. So, as most of you know, Stacy, you're probably not aware of this. DS&A did an audit on us and basically said that we misappropriated about $300,000. I think the exact number is 280-something. And so, in that audit, we didn't spend the money on strip clubs, and they didn't accuse anybody of stealing it. We coded some stuff wrong, and we admitted that we coded some stuff wrong. And so I took the position that, to be clear, the federal government has not at any time asked us to return this money at all. DS&A's job and kind of Jim's job is to make sure that we spend our money correctly. And we do that. There's a set way to do that, and we didn't do it that set way. And so that audit found it. And so Senator Luther's office, along with DS&A, said, we've got to draw this money back. Well, I didn't want to do that. So I talked with William Allison Cruz that works for I think Allison works for HHS, what you see on the news all the time about Obamacare, the Health and Services Department for the White House. And said, I don't think you have to either. And then at the end of the day, I think you do have to do this, but I don't know what to do with it. So, Luke and I had a conversation. This has been a month long ongoing thing. This isn't something that's happened in the. When did we meet with DS&A, Senator? In December or November?
That sounds about right.
So one day last week, I made the decision that we're going to put this to bed and draw the funds down. So I called DS&A, and Paul Lothian I'm not sure what Paul's job title is, but Paul is basically an accountant for DS&A. And told Paul that we were ready to move on, draw the money down, and so Paul said, well, hold on. I don't necessarily know that you're going to be in as bad a shape as you think you are. So I think on Thursday of next week, we're going to have a conference call with it'll be me, Jim, Paul Othian at DSNA, Allison Cruz of the HHS office, and another fiscal director from the HHS office, and figure out exactly what's going to happen. Impact our fiscal 15 money. It would be a drawdown on the 14. I think of the 13 or 15 fund, and where we might have a little bit of room is the HHS is. They're not so convinced that we can complete our state plan if we do that drawdown. Now, what we don't want to do is invite an audit from the federal government at any cost. So, yeah, how about that? I was prepared to put that issue to bed, but Paul Othian thinks that we may. You know, I don't know, Jim, you want to expound on that some, or either I said it correctly, or I may have said it completely opposite of what you think, what he's told you.
I've not talked with him in the last week, so I'm not sure his current position.
Okay.
We had determined as of, I guess it's probably been 10 days ago, to go ahead and make the bookkeeping interest to represent these funds, movement of funds, to the appropriate grant years. But the governor's office advised me that they wanted me to hold up on doing that until these new directors got in place. You know, I'm being replaced by someone just almost immediately, and so you're going to have someone in my job, you're going to have someone in the DDC director's position that need to get up to speed on these issues, and then decide in consultation with. Lothian is the head of the DFNA's accounting division, and in consultation with him and his staff, then decide the timing and the exact how.
And I'm correct, Jim, in that our plans going forward, that money is not going to be affected by this. Is that the way you understand it?
The 2015 grant money is not affected at all.
We can go forward. So I'll let you. I'll have Teresa. Once we have that, and I haven't talked to the governor's office about that in a while. So it sounds like they're going to delay that even further. But once we do get some clarity on that, I'll have Teresa send an email out to everybody and let her find out what the final outcome of that is. But like I say, it's got no impact on us going forward. So that's what I want everybody to be focused on. So our last bit of business, and then we'll get off here. There are 13 people signed up to go to D.C. in April. That is an expense well over $30,000. We can't.
I'm out. This is Tina Davis. I'm out.
Okay. Yeah, we can't. And I appreciate that, Tina. And with 13 people, there's going to be somebody not going to be able to go. But with 13 people, we just can't. I don't think that's responsible of us to send 13 people to Washington, D.C. all at the same time. I can tell you, having been more than one time, that everybody should go to this while you're on the council. You just learn stuff. I literally compare it to clothes in New York all the time. You go to New York and people wear stuff. You're like, man, this guy looks like an idiot wearing this. And then 3 years later,
every redneck in the world got it on. So, that, you know, I've seen it happen with Able Act, it's Community First Choice. That's where you hear about all of this stuff, is in D.C. So, if you have been, so the only fair way to do this is if you have been to D.C. before with the council for this conference, you're going to the second cut list. So who on this call has signed up that has not been before?
Matthew, this is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
I've been, but I haven't been to the policy seminar.
Okay. And you haven't been, you didn't go, well, I don't guess you went with us either, did you?
No, I went last summer in July.
Okay. Now, what did you go, I mean, did you go to
It was just an annual conference.
It wasn't this exact same conference.
No, uh-uh.
This conference that I'm talking about is the one that you, that in my opinion, everybody needs to go to.
Okay.
Like, this is the one. So, you have not been before, and you are signed up to go.
Right.
All right. So, if you want to go, you can still go.
I would still like to go, yes.
Yeah, you'd still go. Is there anybody else on this call that has not been before that are signed up to go other than Rachel?
Me, Alex Scott.
Alex, you went with me on this trip just a couple of years ago, buddy.
I thought I had went to the annual conference.
Well, me and you went in April. Me and you and Jeb went either 2 or 3 years ago. And I think I'm right to see.
Matthew, this is Rita. You and Jeb and I went about 3 years ago.
I think it might have even been four. I think it might have been maybe 4 years ago because Regina went with us.
Yeah, that was me and you and Jeb and Regina.
And Regina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went, me, Jeb, and Alex went back one time.
I thought Dewey went. Okay. But that's okay.
Yeah. So, Alex, I'm going to have Teresa, since there's really not, who else, did Chris Johnson, did I hear you say you signed up or no?
No, I haven't. I'm not able to go.
All right. Was it just Alex, Rachel?
Jennifer Bell. I signed to go, and I haven't attended this conference.
And you never been? Okay. All right, we'll put you down. Okay.
We had several others that had signed up that are not on the call. I think Deanna had wanted to go, and she hasn't been.
Okay. So what we'll do is, Eric needs to go to this, for sure. So what we'll do is, Rachel and Jennifer, you get preference just because your schedule allowed you to be on the call today. Kind of early bird gets the worm type of deal. And then Eric is going to go. I don't know what's going on with Dewey's phone, but does anybody know if Dewey's been to this before?
I don't know if he's been to this one. I don't know which one he's been to, Matthew. He's
okay. And I could be, I'm trying to think of, did Kiara sign up to go?
No.
Okay.
I know Karina Wilkins wanted to, and also Deanna Harden, and they're both new council members.
So what about self-advocates? Alex was the only person that signed up?
Alex and Dewey.
Okay, Alex and Dewey. Okay. All right, so Alex, we're going to put you back on, buddy. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, so if Dewey has been before, we're gonna ask Dewey to pass this time.
Okay.
And we'll put you on your alley. So that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, so I mean six. Each one of these people, what's the cost for? So like $3,000, probably.
Yeah, I don't have the figures right in front of me, but.
But I mean, is that in the ballpark of what it?
Probably around that range.
Yeah, it's probably around $3,000 to go. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we've got one slot. It'd be Rachel, Jennifer, Eric, Alex. Alex is caretaker, and one other person. So I guess we'll just, Teresa, just send out an email.
Okay.
And we'll just let everybody else just fight like dogs to be the last person to go. I don't really know how to do it.
Do you want to give preference to Karina or Deanna, since they're not on the call, but they did ask?
No preference. No preference. Just do it like this. Just send out an email and say, look, we have one spot remaining to go on this. You only send an email, so we'll do this by deduction. So take the 13 people that signed up.
Right.
So don't send an email to Rachel, Jennifer, Eric. You won't have Eric. So don't send an email to Rachel, Jennifer, and Alex. So send an email to the other 10 people.
Okay.
Say, only one of you can go. If you've been before, you cannot go this time. If you haven't been before, would anybody like to withdraw their name so somebody else can go? And I bet you you'll find somebody who'll be nice and say no.
Okay, got it.
If not, if you can't get it worked out, and get it worked out like the next week, if you can't get it worked out, just call me and I'll just flip a coin.
Okay. Matthew, before you let everyone go, I know you still have to finish some things, but I just wanted to mention one thing before you let everybody go.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, were you finished?
Now. Yeah, I think so. I think that's up. Was there anything else I'm forgetting?
No, I just wanted to mention.
I don't
know that.
That's Chris Tether, so.
Okay.
Can you read what you're typing?
You better get it said. I'm going to catch you.
While he's typing, I'll just say real quick what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Tonight, if you're available on Channel 4 and 16, they are going to do some coverage of our first responder program on the news.
Awesome.
So they came up here today to interview and get some information about it. So there's going to be coverage both on 4 and 16, starting at 5 o'clock. So.
Right. Wonderful.
Teresa, this is Tina Davis, and I just want to thank you for the job you've done and how you stepped in, and you have just been wonderful, just wonderful, and I really appreciate the great job you've done and all your hard work.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I deeply care about this, about our council, so I really do appreciate it.
It shows, Teresa, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
And Teresa, this is Tammy Schwartz. I want to echo what Tina said. You came in at a difficult time, and you did it very gracefully.
Thank you, Tammy. That means a lot.
Glorious 10-year run has resigned from the council, believe it or not in controversy.
Matthew, I didn't hear that first part of it. You sounded like you were underwater.
Stacy Sebring is a name that you probably hadn't heard before, and Stacy has been appointed by Governor Hutchinson to replace Jeb. And so Jeb resigned, not in controversy. He'd just been on the board for 10 years, and he felt like he fought a good fight and was ready to do something else. So we're going to actually do something for Jeb, I'm saying Disability Awareness Day, but that's not the right. Teresa, what's the day that we talked about doing something?
We were going to have a proclamation done to proclaim it as Developmental Disability Awareness Month.
We're going to,
So we might kind of try to incorporate that around the council meeting, possibly.
Yeah. When we literally switched with me becoming chair, I literally did not recognize, and I know it doesn't surprise you, but didn't recognize Jeb for even 30 seconds with 10 years of service. And I had planned to. I literally just forgot about it. So we're going to try to do something for Jeb over at the Capitol, get a proclamation done, thanking him for his 10 years of service. But so, Stacy, if you want to just maybe give everybody like a little 30-second or 3-hour bio on you, the floor is yours.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stacy Seabury, and I have a son who attends Access, and he's been there for about 5 years, and he just has some developmental delays, and he's very important to us, obviously, and me and my husband, Shay, we've been very involved at Access, and one of our main missions when our son first started attending is no one had ever heard about Access. I would go around telling people, my son goes to Access, it's the most awesome place in the world, and no one had heard about Access. So one of our big missions was to get the word out about that school, and I think we've been pretty successful. We chaired one of their fundraisers 1 year, 5 years ago. We had 250 people attending. This year, we plan on having 500 people attending. So I want to use the same passion that I have for Access for the council, and I really look forward to working with everyone and making a difference.
Well, thank you for that. I know I speak for everybody that's on this call and everybody that's not. We literally are so glad to have you and look forward to working with you and what you bring to the table. So, Teresa, when's our next council meeting?
March 12th, we'll be sending out the advance mail packets on February 27th is when we're planning to mail those out. So
March 12th.
Right, and then we'll have some different changes going on with some of the committees. We were going to try to have the funding committee meet and the finance committee meet the night before on that Wednesday evening, just to make things flow a little bit easier than they did this past meeting, so that we wouldn't feel so rushed. So we'll be getting all that information out to you soon on those times.
Matthew, before you guys wrap this up, I wanted to just say one thing, if you don't mind. Okay. I just wanted to mention to everybody, and I think, Teresa, you did send out an email about a passing of one of our former council members, and that was Rhonda Gray. And one thing that I would like for you guys just to think about, I know sometimes I push things down people's throats, and I apologize, potentially renaming the Parent Activity Fund, the Rhonda Gray Fund, Memorial Fund, just something just to put in, put out there, and we can discuss it at our next meeting.
I think that's a great idea, and I can't see I can't see anybody being against that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a motion right now that we rename the Parent Activity Fund in honor of Rhonda Gray to the Rhonda Gray Parent Activity Fund. Okay, that's Christopher Tevis for the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
And I think what we should do too is just notify her husband what we've decided to do, because I think that would mean a lot. And, you know, possibly at our next meeting, we could just like sign a card and send to the family and let them know.
Yeah.
And I hate to end it on a down note, but I will say that I didn't know her very well, but what I did know about her left me awestruck, and because she was fighting this battle with cancer, right. And she didn't let that get in her way for fighting for her little girls. So yeah. That's just amazing. I'm in awe of what she did with her life.
Well, thank you for doing that. That is, you're right, and I'm glad that we did that for you. Thank you for that idea. While we're on here, we only get together four times a year, so if there's anybody on here, not to be a festivist, but if you have any grievances or anything you want to air.
Matthew, did Chris, was he typing something? Did we want to... Did you want to ask Chris if he...
Yeah, sure. Chris, did you type anything out?
This is Chris. I have no access to my email, Teresa, on Facebook.
Okay, Chris. We'll keep you informed. I'll catch you on the Facebook. Thank you.
Chris, my wife won't let me have Facebook because she says I look at women on it. So, like I can't send you a note. So, but I'll see you in March. So. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn. This is Alex.
Okay. Thanks, Alex.
And then I second it. I'm Tammy.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a good day, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye. He got a motion and second, but no vote.
When will we start?
Well, obviously, they got to get this all passed, and the governor's got to sign it and all.
Just don't know. And, if he's a Republican,
I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do this, because this appropriation bill is for the next fiscal year. It's for the 2016 fiscal year.